Hello, welcome back to Walker Wisdom. Today I'm here joined in the studio with Frank H. Goodyear, the co-director of the Bowdoin College Museum of Art. Thanks so much for coming today.
Andrew, it's great being here.
So we're going to get started with questions. How would you describe your role at the BCMA?
So as co-director, and I should mention that Anne and I are the only co-directors of a museum of art in the United States. And so this is an unusual arrangement, but we think it's a terrific arrangement because it allows us to divide our responsibilities. It allows us to provide different perspectives on important questions. And it allows each of us to continue to do our curatorial work. Anne and I were both curators at the Smithsonian's National Portrait Gallery before we came to Bowdoin about 10 years ago. And the ability to continue research, developing exhibitions, has been such an important part of the work we do. But in general, you know, what is a co-director? Co-director is, in a sense, the person who is responsible for the team of museum professionals at the museum who care for this extraordinary art collection that has been built over more than two centuries. It cares for the exhibition programs that we put on. We do about 8 to 10 new exhibitions every year. It develops all sorts of public programs, research initiatives, outreach into our community. We have an active acquisitions program. Mm. And the co-director is really sort of, we are responsible for sort of overseeing all this different work.
How did you find your way to the BCMA?
Well, Anne and I used to be curators at the Smithsonian's National Portrait Gallery. I was specifically a curator of photography, and Anne was a curator of prints, drawing, and new media. And we had certainly known about the Bowdoin Museum because of its outstanding collection and because of, you know, a long track record of doing interesting exhibitions. But, you know, we were invited to apply to this position, and it was really the college's idea to explore the idea of a co-directing leadership arrangement. And when we heard about that, that just got us really excited because we knew this was a place that wanted us to, you know, to continue the kind of intellectual work that we had begun in Washington.
And then could you speak more about your undergraduate experience and the influences that led to your role as a curator at the Smithsonian?
Sure. So interesting to point out that I was not an art history or visual arts major. I was actually an English major. Mm-hmm. And I think that learning to write well, to speak somewhat clearly, to think critically about a text, whether it be a literary text or a visual text, mm-hmm. was really important in my own sort of professional training. But that said, I should mention that really my interest in museums and the arts began really as a little kid when my parents used to have a couple of times a year something we refer to in the family as No Choice Day, mm-hmm. where we had myself, my two younger sisters, and my parents, we had no choice but to go out and do some type of, to see an art exhibit, to visit a museum, to go to some sort of historic home. This was important part of my sort of upbringing. And I remember that, like, if we behaved ourselves, there was ice cream at the end of the day. And so fortunately, I was introduced to the arts at a very young age, and mm-hmm. being in museums have always felt like a very comfortable place.
Do you find yourself collaborating with another department within the BCMA and outside of it particularly often?
So the BCMA is an educational resource for this campus and really for the wider community. And certainly we have natural affinities with the Department of Art History and the Visual Arts Department, mm-hmm. and we do a lot of work with them, and that's important work. how awesome is it to be able to actually work with real objects when you are studying whatever piece of art history that you're engaged in. That's really, really special. But I think it's also really important to acknowledge that departments across campus can find roads into the museum's collections and into the exhibitions and programs that we're about. And so we've taken, I think, a great deal of pride in, you know, working with departments as diverse as math and econ and anthropology and, you know, you name it. I think our recent statistics suggest that, you know, 3/4 of the academic departments here at Bowdoin have used the museum for class visits or research or one thing or another over the course of the last 2 or 3 years.
I understand that one of your main interests is in photography. So how did that come about?
Yes, I love photography and must acknowledge that I am a failed photographer. I started making pictures when I was in high school and took a couple of photography classes when I was in college. And I found that every time that I went out to make a picture, I kept seeing other people's pictures. So if I went to go, say, for example, make a picture of a landscape, I kept looking at Ansel Adams or Edward Weston or other famous, and I would come back with pictures that looked just like theirs. And, you know, I think the part about being an artist is finding your own original voice, finding something to say out there. And certainly I loved photography as a medium, but my interest in history, you know, led me to track down the curatorial path as opposed to working as a practicing artist.
How is this transition between a huge institution like the Smithsonian to the BCMA, where it's an academic institution?
Yeah, I mean, in scale-wise, they're very different places. You know, at the Smithsonian, there's more than 2,000 professional employees and 2,000 volunteers, and it's a huge organization. And whereas here at Bowdoin, you know, we have 14 professional staff, in addition to, of course, supporting staff in facilities and security and IT and other departments around campus. That said, I will say that I think that actually they share a lot in common, that the work that we are doing here at Bowdoin is not a lot different than the work that we were doing back at the Smithsonian. It's about caring for collections, utilizing those collections, connecting with different audiences. And so while it is a smaller place, I will say that the BCMA exists as an institution to serve the educational purposes of this campus, of this community. And I think our exhibitions demonstrate that we can put together projects that resonate deeply with visitors from near and far.
Now to a different topic. How would you consider your work-life balance?
Well, first of all, I would say that I really love my work, and I feel like it's an incredible privilege to have the opportunity to do what I do. Not a week goes by that I'm not working with an assortment of really interesting people, whether it's Bowdoin faculty and students, whether it's artists, collectors, gallerists, patrons of one sort or the other. I mean, it's a fascinating mix of people who sort of cross the threshold into the museum. And so I enjoy that very much. Yes, it's true. I have a life outside of the museum, outside of Bowdoin. But, you know, I love being in the arts. And so when Ann and I go on vacation, for instance, it's not surprising that we end up going to a museum or so. Yes, we like, you know, hiking, and we like being out on the water, and we like all sorts of personal hobbies and activities. But at the same time, you know, being in the arts is not a 9-to-5 job. It's something that is just a part of you and that you really enjoy being a part of.
as Steve said, like the wheels are always turning and always looking to consume more. What surprised you most as you settled into your position here?
What surprised me most? You know, I'll be perfectly honest. Actually, relatively little has surprised me. I knew how great the collection was, mm-hmm. a collection that's global in scope. It goes back 5,000 years in human history. And it's a collection, you know, that's been built over the last two centuries. And it's so inspiring to go into collection storage and to, you know, work with objects from such diverse backgrounds. And I knew that we were going to encounter that. I guess I'm sort of surprised, like, wow, Bowdoin has an example of this. Who would have known? But maybe we should come to expect that. I think that when you're doing exhibitions, curating exhibitions at the Smithsonian, you'll get hundreds of thousands, if not millions of visitors who come through those exhibitions. And here at Bowdoin, you know, while our audience is certainly much smaller, we still, I think, have a tremendous impact in our community across Maine and well beyond. I find it, you know, wonderful to note that three of our exhibitions had full page reviews in the Boston Globe over the course of the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, our shows matter. They're shows that contribute to the knowledge in a meaningful way. So you don't have to be a Smithsonian to create works of cutting-edge research and of excellence.
I feel like there's this, while Brunswick may be tucked away, Bowdoin with its campus community is very international, and it's just a hub.
Well, and it's always interesting to read, you know, our guest book to see where people are coming from. And it's remarkable. They're from around the country, around the world, indeed. And many of them who are visiting from away recognize that the Bowdoin College Museum of Art is one of the most outstanding art museums in northern New England. And it is a destination for art lovers, and that's great. I will also say that Bowdoin is in the wider world, too. Bowdoin graduates, Bowdoin parents, friends of Bowdoin, you know, work at museums all throughout the United States. And we are always, again, I'm not surprised by this, but we're always have a chuckle when we learn about another Bowdoin grad who works at the Getty in Los Angeles, who works at the Art Institute of Chicago. You know, the number of Bowdoin graduates who are in the arts in New York City is just remarkable. When we want to borrow a work of art for an upcoming exhibition, you know, oftentimes we can reach out to a Bowdoin graduate to ask them whether something might be available for us or not. So Bowdoin, small college in Maine, has an international footprint.
In your many years of experience, have you seen a change in the way the BCMA, but also the museum landscape has changed?
Well, that's a big question, because nothing is ever static, or at least you hope nothing is ever static. Mm-hmm. Things are always responding. Museums are living organisms that very much reflect their times. I oftentimes like to say that museums are as much collections of people as they are of works of art. And, you know, the Bowdoin Museum has been built by many generations of people who have donated their time, their expertise, their resources, have donated art collections. And Ann and I are happy to be the current directors of the museum, but there will be a time when there will be new directors or director who will have his or her own set of priorities. I would say that the museum wants to be connected with the important issues of our moment, mm-hmm. the issues that, you know, faculty and students are talking about. We want to develop programming, exhibitions. We want to make acquisitions that very much reflect the most important issues of our moment. And so whether we're doing exhibitions that center environmental concerns, center social, racial justice concerns, that explore issues of identity, gender and sexuality, these are things that are top of mind for faculty and students, and they are top of mind for us as well.
How has this shift changed the way you do your work?
So, I mean, I've always been somebody who has enjoyed building partnerships, collaborative relationships with others. One of the things that's tremendously fun about working at a museum is that, you know, we take a team-based approach to so much of what we do. And therefore, it's extraordinary to work with students on projects, work with faculty on projects, to work with other artists or other museums on projects. That's been, I think, the most meaningful part of our work, is that opportunity to collaborate.
Looking back, is there a specific exhibition or project you are most proud of?
Again, it's such a privilege to be able to do the work that I've been able to do. And I really would say that each project has been fulfilling it in its own way. I will recall that I did this project back at the Smithsonian entitled American Cool, that explored the origins and evolution of cool as an oppositional persona in 20th and 21st century American life. Mm-hmm. And I and a partner, we were the arbiters of what cool is and who was cool for the Smithsonian. And I have to say that was fairly, that was memorable. And certainly when we gave the first tour for that exhibition, at about literally 300 people showed up. and we had to, you know, bring in special microphones and everything, mm-hmm. to be, you know, we thought an opening tour, you get 20, 30 people, mm-hmm. and we had 300 people show up for our opening tour, and you got a sense of the excitement around a particular project. So that certainly was very, very memorable. But, you know, I'm currently working with Professor Barry Logan on a project about Monhegan Island. Mm-hmm. We've had several students, Silas Brown, Murfiro, who have been involved with that particular project. Working with Professor Dana Bird right now on a project about Gordon Barks's photography in Maine in 1944, a series of photographs that has never been written about, never really been published, and we're working on a new publication and exhibition related to that material, which will be totally awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, each project has its own special charms, and it's largely the people that you're working with that make it such fun.
What is the most memorable experience you've had during your time at the BCMA?
Well, I have to say what comes first to mind is the student night at the museum, which, you know, happens once a semester. Mm-hmm. That's certainly my favorite public program. It's so exciting to see students, you know, come to the museum and experience it as a social space where they can enjoy the exhibitions, but also importantly, enjoy one another. I think those are great. I will also say, you know, that working with our outstanding professional staff at the museum is a great joy. They're a tremendous team. There are some members of the staff who have been working here at Bowdoin for 40 plus years, others who have just joined the staff earlier this year. Each has professional expertise, and they're great at their work, and it's a joy to come to work every day.
And then final question, what is one word of advice you would give to those interested in getting into museum work?
My first answer, and I don't want to be sarcastic about this, is that showing up to social events at museums is important. And yes, it's about the people that you will meet, the networking, if you will, that you will do there. But I think that for those who are genuinely interested in a career in the museum field, to want to be a part of that world and to literally show up in that world is of vital importance. Yes, I also think, you know, a degree in art history or anthropology or visual arts would be also very helpful if this is what you want to do. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, I was an English major, but I loved my experiences at museums and have felt very fortunate to, you know, be gainfully employed in museums. And it's largely because I just enjoy the time spent there.
Well, thank you so much for coming to the show today, Frank. It was very nice talking to you today.
Andrew, thanks. Much appreciate your work on this project.
Thank you so much for listening.